The Pinot Truth. This is the story of Clarice in California, written by Lisa Perotti Brown for The Wine Palette. The global Pinot Noir conversation has grown tired. Another winemaker declares an obsession with Burgundy. Another promises limestone, suitcase clones, and physiological ripeness at improbably low alcohol. The language is familiar, the ambition predictable. At a certain point, the pursuit of an imagined Burgundian ideal begins to feel less like reverence and more like mimicry. Adam Lee has little patience for that mindset. To say that a Pinot Noir needs to be like Burgundy to be great is one of the most anti-Burgundian statements ever uttered, he says. A great Pinot Noir needs to be a reflection of the place and time in which it is grown, with just a modest amount of winemaker thrown in. That philosophy underpins Clarice Wine Company, Lee's post-Siduri project launched with the 2017 vintage. Clarice is not an attempt to out-Burgundy Burgundy, nor is it a nostalgic replay of Lee's earlier success. Instead, it reflects three decades of California Pinot Noir experience, both in the vineyards and in the thinking of one of the category's most influential figures. Lee's relationship with Pinot Noir began well before he had any intention of making wine. He grew up in Austin, Texas, in a strict Southern Baptist household and did not drink alcohol until college at Trinity University in San Antonio. "I was a junior when I started dating a young woman who was a senior," he recalls. After she graduated, she got a job in Northern California. I spent a summer out there with her, and we'd go wine tasting on the weekends. We thought we knew something about wine. We preferred Mondavi White Zinfandel to Sutter Home. One winery, however, changed everything. It was this beautiful place with picnic tables overlooking the vines and the river. That's where I had the first red wine I ever loved, the 1984 Roccioli Pinot Noir. The love affair with the woman ended, but the love affair with Pinot Noir continues. Lee entered the trade through retail, working at Austin Wine and Spirits, and later as a buyer for Neiman Marcus in Dallas. California beckoned, but not with a clearly defined plan. Moving from retail to making wine, it wasn't really a straight line, he says. I moved to California mainly to be part of what was going on out here. My plan, to the extent there was one, was to be a wine writer. He worked in tasting rooms and wrote for a publication called Vintages, Vines, and Wines. It was during this period that Lee and his then-wife, Diana, decided to try making wine, not as a grand entrepreneurial vision, but as a way to gain credibility. I thought that if I was going to write about wine, I should at least have some experience making it. They founded Siduri in 1994 with $24,000. I got into Siduri knowing nothing, Lee admits. I made fairly lush wines that were easy to drink early on. We got to be a brand. Siduri grew into one of California's most successful Pinot Noir labels, sourcing from top sites across the state and helping define a generation of single vineyard California Pinot. In 2015, the brand was acquired by Jackson Family Wines for an undisclosed sum, typically shorthand for a meaningful one. Lee remains a consultant to Siduri today. In my time at Siduri, I made three great Pinot Noirs, he says. The 1995 Hirsch, the 1999 Christian David, and the 2005 Pisoni. We'll see with Clarice. Clarice is Lee's next chapter, and it is deliberately different. When I started Clarice with the 2017 vintage, he explains, my goal was to make wines that reflected the maturation of California's Pinot Noir vines since I started making wine in 1994, and the evolution of how I think about wine. But Clarice is also about community. Lee has built the label around a membership model that prioritizes education and engagement over brand evangelism. I want Clarice to be a place that grows a wine community, he says. I promote other people's wines. I host events for Clarice members at other wineries and often don't even pour my own wines. Members gain access to library wines, preferred pricing on select producers, and curated trips to regions such as Oregon and Châteauneuf-du-Pape. Lee also hosts conversations, often via Zoom, with winemakers and thinkers he admires, aiming to deepen members' understanding rather than sell them a narrative. Pinot Noir remains Lee's central focus, but his view of California's potential is both broad and precise. The greatness of Burgundy doesn't come from a particular style of wine, he says. It comes from the fact that the wines reflect even the tiniest differences in place. That, he argues, is already happening in California, if sporadically. I've had great Pinots from the Santa Rita Hills, Santa Lucia Highlands, Sonoma Coast, and Russian River Valley. Those areas will continue on occasion to produce amazing wines. One region, however, stands out. The Santa Cruz Mountains is the area to watch right now, Lee says, and perhaps Arroyo Grande. There are fewer producers there, but with climate change, it will retain a cool growing season and has a real shot. Clarice also became the unlikely platform for one of Pinot Noir's most unconventional collaborations. Lee's partnership with Philippe Combi, best known for his work in the Southern Rhone, led to Beaumarchais, a radically different expression of Pinot Noir. Combi's approach shocked even seasoned Pinot producers. A 48-day maceration, unusual pump-around techniques, proprietary enzymes, non-saccharomyces yeast, and cooperage rarely associated with the variety. It stood in stark contrast to Lee's own hands-off whole cluster sensibility. The first time we blended Beaumarchais, Philippe tasted the Clarice wines and said, "These are very well-made wines. I do not like them at all," Lee recalls. That was Philippe. I had cleared every technical bar necessary for him. Whether he liked them wasn't the point. Over time, the wines evolved into a true collaboration, with Lee making select adjustments, such as malolactic inoculation during extended maceration, with Camby's approval. "That's one of my biggest regrets," Lee says. "The possibility of what Philippe and I could have done in the future." Camby passed away in 2021. The 2021 vintage was the final release of Beaumarchais. Tasted side by side, Clarice and Beaumarchais could not be more different stylistically. Yet they share a defining trait. Neither is trying to be something it is not. In an era when Pinot Noir often converges toward sameness, Adam Lee remains stubbornly committed to difference, not for effect, but for honesty. Clarice stands as a mature, reflective expression of California Pinot Noir, shaped by experience, restraint, and a refusal to chase borrowed ideals. Great Pinot Noir, Lee insists, does not need to look elsewhere for validation. It only needs to tell the truth about where it comes from